Savior and Lord. Amen. There is out in the narthex a picture of our sanctuary, not the building, not the inside, the outside. Then there's room on the mat for you to leave Sarah a message, and that will be given to her so she can hang in her house and remember us always. Let us prepare for our worship. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we still were sinners, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy. Lord, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of the covenant, in our baptism, you call us to proclaim the coming of your kingdom. Give us the courage you gave the apostles, that we may faithfully witness to your love and peace in every circumstance of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Would the children please come forward? Well, good morning. All right, a lot of response there. Actually, have you ever, I bet the three of you have never done this. Karai, have you ever gotten a certificate for anything?
At school,
you get certificates. Makes you feel good, doesn't it? And you know you accomplished something. Well, today is Miss Sarah's last Sunday with us. And I thought this would be a great time to give her some certificates for all that she has accomplished. I mean, look at what she's done. She's a pretty good person, wouldn't you think? Yeah. And then she even works at a church. That's pretty good. You know, she's here all the time. Yeah. So I have here a certificate of award to give to Sarah. See? And then I have the certificate of excellence to give to Sarah. Feeling good, Sarah?
So good.
All right. And then I have the certificate of achievement to give to Sarah. Yeah, that's pretty good, Charlotte. Then I have the star of the week to give to Sarah. And then, Sarah, my favorite, the one I know you're going to treasure, she's going to get a certificate of awesomeness. And in the bottom it says, you rock. All right, so I'm thinking with all these certificates, with working in a church, with being such a great person, she's a lock to get into heaven, isn't she? Don't you think? Scream or squeal or something, Charlotte. Actually, do you think those certificates are going to help Sarah get into heaven? No, they don't. They don't. They don't help at all. What we've learned from the Bible is that we get into heaven only by the grace of God. No matter what we do, no matter what effort we make, no matter how wonderful we are, we can even be awesome. Awesomeness. You can be filled with awesomeness. And it doesn't help at all. We only get to heaven through Jesus and his love for us. And that's what I wanted you to remember today. Sarah can have all those certificates, but it doesn't mean a thing. but God loves her means everything. All right, let's pray. God of grace, we thank you for your love. Remind us of your love always, and teach us to love others. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Ezekiel. A voice said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
If the earth is a basketball and the moon is a softball 30 feet away, the re-entry window would be about the thickness of this sheet of paper. That line from the movie Apollo 13 really describes the difficulty the astronauts in ground control had. The whole world was captivated by the Apollo 13 drama with its damaged spacecraft and three astronauts' lives in the balance. Well, I say the whole world, but I wasn't, because I was less than 10 years old at the time, so I'm not even sure I was aware of it. But if you watch the movie, there comes a point where the astronauts need to fire the engine to make a course correction in order to return home. And it has to be a very accurate correction in order to hit that extremely narrow re-entry window. If it isn't, the capsule would either skip off the atmosphere and be hurled out of control back into space, or they would come in too steeply and burn up on the way down. The problem is that they don't have enough power to run the computer to control the engine. The engine would have to burn for 39 seconds, and the astronauts would have to try to steer the capsule manually. They were trying to figure out how to do that when Jim Lovell, one of the astronauts, suggested a solution. In order to steer successfully without the computer, they needed one fixed point to focus on to guide them. Lovell suggested that they had one: the Earth itself. If they could keep the Earth in the window, and if they could keep their eyes on the Earth, they could be successful. And of course, you know that's just what they did, actually landing just over a mile from the aircraft carrier that had been sent to pick them up. Perhaps Lovell knew our psalm for today. Psalm 123 is a short psalm, but it packs a powerful punch. It's a psalm that resonates with us, particularly the part about being fed up. We have had more than enough of contempt, it says, too much of the scorn of the indolent rich and of the derision of the proud. You know, and I know, that so often we are fed up with how things are. And when we look around, so often that's all our eyes can see. And like the psalmist, we cry out to God for mercy and help. But the psalmist has already given the answer to our weariness and discontent. Back in verse 1, he says, "To you I lift up my eyes, to you enthroned upon the heavens." What the psalmist is telling us is that there is only one way to resolve our struggle, one way to look past the malaise of our times, and that is to fill our eyes instead with God. The answer is to orient one's whole life around God. The answer is to trust wholeheartedly in God. The answer is to keep your eyes steady on God, the one fixed point in life. Maybe that same kind of thing was going on in Nazareth too. It's always a bit of a captivating story as Jesus goes back to his hometown and has the opportunity to teach and preach. But rather than receive him or his message, instead the people all began to comment things like, "Where did this guy get all this? Who does he think he is? He's one of us. We know his family." Or maybe another way to understand what is happening is to say that their eyes were so full of themselves and other things that they couldn't see Jesus for who he was. They were drifting in space, unable to locate the one fixed point to fulfill their lives. Our struggle is the same, isn't it? Our eyes are brimming over with so many things that it's hard sometimes for us to see Jesus. It's hard sometimes for us to have our lives oriented around and in Christ when there are so many other demands on us and so many other distractions that pull our eyes away. And when that happens, like those folks in Nazareth that day, we miss the presence of Christ among us, our Savior and our Redeemer, God Himself in our midst, and that one fixed point to anchor us is lost to us as well. We need a funambulist faith. A funambulist is a fancy, proper word for a tightrope walker. In his book, Off Balance on Purpose, business leader and funambulist Dan Thurman writes that these daredevils are constantly making small, critical adjustments, lifting their free leg as a counterweight, raising and lowering their arms, adjusting their pole. Most of these movements are so subtle that they are imperceptible to the audience. They make it all look so effortless. But Thurman says it's not nearly as easy as it looks. So how do they maintain their balance? He continues. When a new student steps onto the rope or cable, they almost always begin with the same flawed game plan. They stare downward at the wire to ensure that they have the proper footing, and so they fall. But if you've ever closely watched professional tightrope walkers, you may recall that they never look down at their feet or at the wire or to either side at their hands or to the balance pole. Rather, they keep their head up and look forward to the goal, to the faraway platform in front of them. They are able to walk the rope because their eyes are fixed not on their present situation, but on their goal. To you, I lift up my eyes, the psalmist prayed. To you enthroned in the heavens. Oh, people of God, turn away from the distractions. Fill your eyes with Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God of grace, you have filled us with your love. Now fill us with your Spirit. Strengthen our faith. Give us the eyes focused on you to see you active in our lives with your blessing and love. Then open our hearts to bear one another's burdens, living and giving Christ's word of peace to all your people. Lord, in your mercy, God of gentleness, we pray for the sick, the sorrowed, those frightened or alone. Give them all a generous measure of your grace that they might see the nearness of your kingdom. Bless all in any need, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, God, our protector, we pray for all those who live amidst war and disaster and whose hearts know only sadness and pain. Grant them peace and help, merciful Lord. Lead us to work to make our world a place of peace and understanding and love. Lord, in your mercy, we pray now for your church, O God, and especially for this congregation of believers. As we bid Sarah goodbye, we pray for your blessing on her, and we pray that you would watch over your family of faith here as well. Open our eyes and hearts to the new thing that you are about to bring among us. May we find your Holy Spirit active among us and leading us in new ways to follow you. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
Let us pray. Merciful God,
you open wide your hand
and satisfy the need of every living thing.
You have set this feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it.
We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice. May we thirst for your way of peace. For you are Lord forevermore. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you, Grace. because I don't remember ever doing that.
No, we've never had to do that.
What is it?
I don't know. You know, we see like the little act lights and do it, but
we don't have one of those anymore.
You got it.
Because I know the ushers will light it.